Okay, welcome everyone back to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Ki Tzeitse. Tzeitse is an action-packed Parsha, full of different mitzvahs and all sorts of ideas. And of course, as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we need to find a connection between Parshas Ki Tzeitse and Elul and our whole preparation for Rosh Hashanah and so on, which of course there is. I want to do two things. I want to share with you two short ideas in the first pasuk, and then go into a little bit of depth in one of the mitzvahs in the parsha. So the first pasuk of the parsha is talking about when Jews go out to war, and it deals with the mitzvah of Yifas Toya, which is what happens if a soldier on the battlefield meets a non-Jewish woman. And according to Rashi, this is a concession that Hashem gives to the weakness of the human being, which could happen. These things could happen on the battlefield, and what he has to do with her, and what halachas need to be followed if he wants to eventually marry her. But the pasuk says the following. The pasuk says, and we're not going to deal with that mitzvah now, but we're going to deal with the wording of the pasuk. And the pasuk says, "Ki seitzei la milchama al oivecha." If you go out to war, al oivecha, upon your enemies. Hashem will give the enemy into your hands. And you will capture their captured ones. So the Kli Yochar, the famous commentary in the parasha of the Kli Yochar, asked a whole bunch of questions on the wording of this pasuk. He says, first of all, why ki seitze? You go out. What do you go out? I mean, we use the expression go out to war, but what does that mean? It should say ki seilech, when you go to war. Or ki silchom, when you fight. Why do we have this idea? Say you go out, la milchoma, to a war. It should say lilchom, you go out to war, to fight. Lilchom means to fight. He also asks, what does it mean, al oivecha? You go to war on your enemies. To say keneged oyvecha, against your enemies, al means on top of. And then, of course, we need to know what does v'shavisa shivyo mean? You'll capture the captured ones. It seems a little bit strange. Just say v'shavisa shevi, you'll capture a captive. Why his captive ones or their captive ones? So the Kli Yochar says the pasuk means something completely different than sending a very strong message. That he's sending a message to Kal Yisrael that when we go out to war, one of the most important things is that internally we should not have machlokes. Internally we should not be divided and non-united and fighting with each other. Because he says, "Vezed dover borur." He said this is a clear thing, that we don't have peace between the fighters, we are prone to be defeated. It's very, very sharp. As happened in the second Beis HaMikdash. That's why it says, ki yitzio, when you go out. When you go out, he says, the first thing you need to do is you have to go out from the internal war that's happening in the city. In other words, only when you go out should be la milchama. That's why it says, ki seitze, when you go out of the city and you're confronting an enemy, not internal, then it should be la milchama, then it should be the concept of war. But inside the city, when you're still at home, there has to be complete peace. And that's why it says, Aloivecha, on your enemies. Only with your enemies you should be fighting a war, but not with the ones that you're supposed to be loving. And then it says, Veshavisa Shivyo, you should capture his captives, which means the enemy's captives. You should not be trying to trick and let down and undermine and essentially symbolically capture or get, catch out. Those that belong to you, those that are your friends, those that are living within your own city. And therefore, he says, all of these things would damage the war, and therefore that's the introduction which the Torah gives. And then the Torah says, "Unasonai Hashem aleikecha, Hashem will give the enemy into your hands." When you follow this, Seita, you go out to fight a war. You don't fight a war internally. Aleivecha, only with your enemies, not with your friends. You only capture people that need to be captured, which is enemy people. Then when Hashem will give you into your hands. While we're still on this pasuk, I want to just mention something that the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out very often on this parsha. And he says that the whole pasuk can also be understood about the internal war we have between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, the internal struggle to overcome temptation, to overcome transgression, to overcome overindulgence, and to overcome the spiritual enemies that are standing in the way for our spiritual success. And often we know that the spiritual war seems overwhelming. It's hard. It's hard not to be affected by the surroundings. It's hard to overcome temptation. It's hard to be really doing well in the Adam Lachaver between man and man, not to get angry, not to take revenge, not to hate. It's hard to keep some of the mitzvahs, like Kashrus when it's difficult, Shabbos when it seems to be a contradiction with Parnassa. All of these things seem difficult. Says the Torah, Ki Seitzil al Mochama, when you encounter this war, the only way it will work is Al Oivecha. Al Oivecha means you're on top of your enemies before you start the war. There's a confidence, there's a conviction, there's a determination, and there's a trust, there's an unbelievable conviction that we can do it. Hashem has given us the ability to overcome the war. It's hard work. We just need to try. And that's the pshat of the pasuk, Ki Seitzel al Mulchama al Oivecha, on top of you. Okay. Now I want to go to something else in the parasha, which is an interesting thing, but are we going to connect it to the idea of tshuva? In fact, the Gemara connects it to the idea of tshuva, and we'll understand that depth when we unpack this. Later on, one of the halachas that are discussed in the parasha is a halacha, a mitzvah, which we obviously don't engage in unless we absolutely have to, but it's the process of divorce. And the Torah says that if someone marries a woman and they want to split up, they want to get divorced, there's a whole seder. He has to give her a seifer for Christmas, he has to give her a get. So all kinds of halachas has to be written and so on. Then the Torah says, v'yotzo v'hoyso. Then she leaves her husband and then she marries another man, which is all good and all fine. And that second man, that second husband, either dies or divorces her. And now for some reason, she and her old husband want to get back together and he wants to marry his ex-wife, essentially. Says that, now that is something which is allowed al pi Torah. A person who divorces his wife can remarry her, and has a name. In fact, it's considered a mitzvah. It's called mahzir grushose. But if in the interim she got married to a different person, in other words, that's all if she hasn't yet got married again. But if she married another husband and that husband then divorced her or died, then she cannot marry her original husband. She cannot go back to her original husband. The first husband may not marry her. That's the halacha in the Torah. It's in this week's parasha. Now we know that the whole idea of marriage is also a spiritual thing. It represents the marriage between Hashem and the Jewish people, and so on. So the Gemara says a fascinating thing, which we need to understand and unpack with regard to tshuva. Again, going back to the Shalach HaKadosh that we said last 2 weeks, anything that's in the parasha is connected to the time. So Kiseitze is always read in Elul, and therefore always must be connected to the idea of tshuva. And there's so many connections in this parasha. But here is one. The Gemara says, Gedoila tshuva. Tshuva is the most powerful idea, most powerful thing. Tshuva is so great, says the Gemara, that it pushes away, it overrides a mitzvah in the Torah. It overrides a negative commandment in the Torah. What's that negative commandment? So it goes like this. We have a principle that Hashem keeps his own mitzvahs. We are married to Hashem, and the Gemara says that when we didn't do the right thing, when we served Avodah Zarah in the first place of English, when we did idols, when we did it, when we went astray, Hashem, on one level, kind of divorced us. He sent us out of Eretz Yisrael, and he sent us to the other nations. What did we do, however? In very many, many instances, instead of doing tshuva properly, instead of yearning to come back to Hashem, we embrace the cultures and the avodah zarah of the other nations. It's all in Tanakh. It's all described in Tanakh. So, in other words, the Gemara says, now we want to do tshuva. We come before Rosh Hashanah, we want to do tshuva. We did something wrong, we want to do tshuva. How can Hashem take us back? It's a loisa say in the Torah. We were married to Hashem, then he sent us away. Then we married, so to speak, other gods, other cultures, other things. And now we want to go back to Hashem. That's in contradiction with the mitzvah in this week's parasha, that the first husband cannot take back. And yet we have the idea of tshuva. Tshuva means that Hashem will always take us back, no matter how many foreign gods we embraced, no matter how many false and impure cultures we engaged in, Hashem will always take us back. So therefore the Gemara says, tshuva is so great, it just overrides the mitzvah. And the obvious question is, that's a very nice and powerful statement, but why? Don't we have this principle that Hashem always keeps his own mitzvahs? So how does tshuva work? Maybe there shouldn't be tshuva. Maybe once we break the covenant, we detach from Hashem, chas v'sholem, maybe it's too late. We shouldn't be able to go back. How come that Hashem is prepared to transgress this aveira, so to speak, this negative commandment, in order to take us back? So I wanted to share briefly the answer to this, and it's extremely powerful. And it demonstrates the whole idea of tshuva and ties into the whole process of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. The depth of tshuva is not just that we say sorry for what we've done, but tshuva, the real tshuva is that it has to come from a very deep place in our neshama. It comes from a place that never sinned. In fact, when we come Rosh Hashanah after a whole Elul, and we blow the shofar, what is that shofar sound? It's interesting, we all know the idea that on Rosh Hashanah we actually don't talk about specifics of transgressions, yet it's still a day of tshuva. Because how does tshuva begin? Tshuva begins as we say in Tehillim during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we call out to Hashem and we say, Nima'amakim karasicha Hashem. I call out to you from the very depths of who I am. What does that mean? And that's the shofar. The shofar is a cry from the essence of the neshama. Because we know that every yid has a neshama, a soul which is attached to Hashem, and that neshama has many layers. The layer of behavior, the layer of emotion, the layer of cognition, and so on and so forth. In fact, it has five layers. And through doing the wrong thing, we can damage some of those layers. We can damage our intellect with distorted thinking. We can damage our behavior by doing the wrong thing, and so on and so forth. We can damage our emotional layer by having toxic reactions emotionally to other people, and so on. There's one thing we can't damage. We have what we call the pintel yid, the essence of our neshama, which always remains pure. And it's at that level of the yid, of the Jew, that we have an unbreakable bond with Hashem and an unconditional love between Hashem and us. It is never broken. But we do break our relationship on a conscious level. That divorce that we talked about before, where Hashem, so to speak, chas v'sholem, divorces us, and we marry other gods, so to speak, that's all true, but it's all on a superficial level, on a conscious level. But deep down, we never detach from Hashem. Deep down, a Yidden is always connected with Hashem. We just have to expose it. And when we damage all the other layers of our neshama, we come to Rosh Hashanah, step one is we peel back the relationship to the very depth of the relationship. We express our neshama by blowing the shofar, and we come to Hashem with a part of us that was never disconnected from Him. And Hashem responds in kind. Hashem also relates to us on two levels. On one level, He gives us Torah mitzvahs, and He wants us to keep it. He wants us to learn Torah and keep mitzvahs. On the other hand, there's an essential bond, there's an unconditional love that Hashem has for us that is not even conditional on Torah mitzvahs. Of course, He wants us to do Torah mitzvahs. But deep down, it's like a parent to a child, where very deep down, like when the child was born and they weren't even doing anything, there's an unconditional bond and love between parent and child. And this is the depth of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't mean that Hashem is going to break His mitzvahs. No. Hashem keeps His mitzvahs. What it means is gedolah tshuva. Tshuva is so great that it goes so deep within a yid that it overrides that transgression. Why? Not because Hashem is going to break the mitzvah of returning His wife that married another husband. No. Tshuva is great because it reveals the part of the relationship between Hashem and the Jew where divorce never took place. That's what tshuva does. Tshuva transcends the mitzvah of not taking back that husband, not taking back that wife, because tshuva allows us to bring out the relationship that we have with Hashem that is unconditional, and it's not at all related to the disconnection between us and Hashem. It's the relationship at the level where we reveal the depth where there was no get, there was no divorce. There was no divorce and Hashem can take us back. We were never divorced and we never married another God at a deeper level. We were never really disconnected with Hashem. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is. That's what tshuva leads to, the tshuva of Elul, where we really think about the last year and we realize that we've created a bit of a distance and we do a cheshbon. And then we yearn to be connected to Hashem again, and we yearn from a very deep place. And we intensify that yearning, and that yearning is expressed in the call of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah morning. We just scream out to Hashem. We can't even say the words. It just comes from the etzem haneshama, and we say we want to come back. And Hashem takes us back, and it's no problem, because if we just remained on a very superficial level, there'd be a problem, because it would be a contradiction to that mitzvah. Because on that level, there's a divorce. But if we come to Hashem from that deep cry, there was no marriage to other gods, and there was no divorce from Hashem, and that's the power of tshuva. That's what the Gemara means, gedolah tshuva. Of course, after Rosh Hashanah, we have to renew the relationship on all levels. At the end of the day, Hashem wants us to keep mitzvahs, and therefore we have our service made tshuva and Yom Kippur, where we deal with the specifics and we do tshuva for specific things, and we resolve to make amends, and we resolve to take one step forward in our growth and to be a better person in the coming year. That's all true. But the beginning of it is restoring the relationship on the deepest level, where there was no separation to begin with. And that's the gedolah tshuva, that what the Gemara says, and that's why tshuva is so great. Just a beautiful connection between the parsha and the whole idea of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. Have a wonderful day, and of course, again, a ksivah simatova, and a very meaningful Elul. We should chapa rayim. We only have 2/3 of Elul left, and even less than, and we just need to do as much as we can, make it special. All the best, and have a good Shabbos.